¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
You are an energetic being first and foremost, so the quality of your energy field is really important. It works like a filter, each part of the field enabling or preventing whatever is turning up in your life. This is the Future Self Energetics Show. I'm your host, Amanda Nelson, and I work in the body, mind, and spirits community. I'm an award-winning master energist. That's a therapist that specializes in improving the quality of the energy fields that move in, through, and around your body. If you want anything in your life to change, you have to begin with changing your energy field first. So my shows are a mixture of talk and therapy ideas, interviews, and thought-provoking inspiration. They're all about energy, energy fields, protection, and connection. If there's a topic you'd love me to cover in my show, please email me, amanda@futureselfenergetics.com. And if you love the show here on UK Health Radio, please spread the word about it in your networks. As we approach a new year, it's natural to reflect on where we've been and where we're headed. There's a quiet power in setting intentions, a way of steering our path with clarity and care. Instead of letting past challenges shape our future, what if we focused on the infinite possibilities that lie ahead? Could our future hold instead? I have a really deep belief that a better version of ourselves is waiting for us in our future. If we're intentional enough to navigate towards it, we will find that version of ourself. Imagine yourself at some point in the future, standing with open arms, smiling and joyful and celebrating your arrival as you are now, congratulating you for doing such a fantastic job of getting to the place where you were intended to be. What if 2025 became the year that you navigated to that future self? Imagine navigating there by relying upon thoughtful and satisfying and easy to follow habits. Habits that you love, habits that guide you towards the life you truly want to create and deserve to experience. Habits that keep you steady and open and ready for all that possibility, so that when the right opportunity presented itself, you're already aligned, you're already in flow, and already ready to step into the destiny that is waiting for you. Habits that will enable you to know when you're in flow and how it feels if you're starting to drift off that flow path. I've got 7 of these habits, and they're not about escaping any part of the past months and years. They're about stepping into something much greater. These habits are rooted in your evolution and growth, in your best intention and your greatest level of fulfillment. And each one calls you to lean into both the familiar and perhaps a little bit of the unknown, blending your comfort and those sprinkles of curiosity that I'm sure, like me, you have. So these habits offer a way to approach 2025 with a spirit of hope, presence, and gentle courage and willingness as well. As I walk you through each of the habits on my show for UK Health Radio today, I invite you to think about how you might welcome them into your life. It's not about pressure or perfection. It's about giving yourself permission to explore, to play, and to thrive. And there's no need to do all of this at once. Just one small shift can make all the difference. My name's Amanda Nelson. This is the Future Self Energetics Show on UK Health Radio. Let's spend some time together today and explore 7 satisfying habits for a 2025 mindset.
UK Health. North Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
On my show today, I'm sharing 7 habits with you. Habits that are rooted in your ability to grow and evolve, for you to be able to access whatever it is that your greatest level of fulfillment can be, and how you get there through using the best versions of your intention. And as we approach a new year, it's natural for every one of us to start reflecting on where we've been and to take a fresh view on where we'd like to be headed. I think there's a really quiet power in setting intentions. These aren't resolutions. Intentions seems to be a little bit of a softer word to me, something that allows for creativity and responsiveness. A resolution is more of a resolve, isn't it? And that seems a bit fixed to me. Maybe it's just my interpretation of the word. What I'm looking for is a way to steer my path, your path, with clarity and care. So instead of letting any past challenges shape any of our futures, what if we focused on the infinite possibilities that lie waiting for us instead? Of these 7 different habits, I would always start with the idea of planting something. Planting is one of the simplest yet most profound habits that you can practice. It's an act of belief in the future. And when you plant something, whether it's a seed in the soil or an idea in your mind or a new dream in your life, you're actually making a statement. And the statement that you're making is, I believe in growth. If you've listened to any of my shows on UK Health Radio before, it won't come as a surprise that I have a great passion for growth. Personal growth, communal growth, growth in nature. Can you ever plant too many vegetables? I often ask. But growth doesn't have to be literal, though planting flowers and vegetables is a beautiful practice in itself. Planting could mean starting a new creative project, launching a small business idea, or planting a small daily routine that sets you up for a much brighter day. I plant seeds in pots of soils. Yes, I do. And as I plant those seeds, I then had to learn to wait. And I'd wait a day or so, and I'd be checking the soil surface to see if there's any hint of life emerging. I'll tell you what though, when I see the first leaves sprouting, when they're pushing through the surface of the soil, I'm still filled with the same amount of glee that I felt the first time I planted something and saw it grow. It never bores me, it never grows old. What seeds do you want to plant in 2025? Is it a new relationship? Is it a side project? Is it a long-held dream that you're finally ready to nurture? Whatever it is, remembering that the planting of it is as much about trusting yourself as it is about trusting the process. So go on in 2025. Why not plant something? As soon as you've planted something, as a gardener, I would have to add this, as soon as you've planted something, you then have to be prepared to nurture it. If planting is the beginning, then nurturing has to be the ongoing act of care. It's about tending to what you've started, what you've given life to, and it's showing up for it with love and consistency and understanding and patience. Nurturing something, this habit, invites you to be very present with what matters most at the stage that you are at. This habit, it asks you to be present with what matters the most right now and in the future, the immediate future, as you see it unfolding. To use my seed analogy, when you put a seed in the ground, it needs a special kind of soil, it needs a certain kind of temperature, a certain amount of water, let's say, sunlight. And it needs all of those in just the right proportions in order for the seed to burst into life and break through the surface of the soil. But once that seed really starts getting going, it actually needs a different set of nurturing, a different group of nurturing practices, if I can call it that. You certainly wouldn't want to water it as lightly as you did when the seed was first in the ground. That plant will soon be fed much richer dressings on an ongoing basis. So as you can see, once you've planted something, you have to be present with what matters most to that thing. It asks you to be present with what matters the most right now and in the immediate future. When I plant a tomato seed of a tomato plant, I'm not thinking at the moment about how heavily I need to feed it because the fruit is starting to form. All I'm thinking about is what conditions do I give this seed so it has the greatest capacity to grow? Because I know if I get that right, then what's further down the track will evolve with strength and purpose in the most natural way. What seeds are you going to plant and how are you going to nurture them? I mean, what in your life needs nurturing right now? It might be a friendship you haven't given enough attention to, or a personal goal that you let fall to one side, or maybe it's your own well-being that needs your kind attention. It might be none of those things, but I'm sure if you search your heart, you'll know deep down what it is that you need to nurture more. I've recently taken up knitting and crochet, not because I needed scarves or jumpers and not because I couldn't buy them, but because I needed something simple and repetitive and peaceful to do in the evenings. Otherwise, I'll just plug myself into some kind of movie. What I wanted was something that freed my mind and gave me mind space to allow my mind to talk to me directly, so that if there was something that was in need of nurturing, that my mind had enough space to talk to me about it. That's exactly what happened. I sit with my knitting needles in hand, and row after row I just knit. There's no music in the background, no TV, no podcast, no talking. Just the gentle click of needles. And it's become a space where my thoughts can really flow naturally. It's like creating, as I said before, nurturing a mind space so that the mind could show me what I need to nurture next. What I didn't expect was that the most wonderful solutions and creative ideas would arrive during that quiet time. I keep a notepad next to me and I jot down ideas as they come, and then I return to the piece of knitting. That calm space of row after row of nothing in particular. And it's become a time for unravelling my thoughts, if you'll excuse the pun, in the best possible way. What could you nurture in 2025? Perhaps it's a relationship, a passion, or your own well-being. Nurture it. Nurture it with care, with consistency, and with patience. I'd also like to suggest that one of the habits that you choose for 2025 would be to preserve something. Well, planting and nurturing are about the future. Preserving is about honouring the past, or at least that's what I think. It's about deciding which parts of your past harvest you want to carry forward with you. I've been working on preserving some of my family stories. My dad, he was in the Royal Navy back in the day, and I've been collecting together his old black and white photographs and the albums that are in them. And my sons, when they get a chance, they sit down with me and we look at the pictures of Granddad in his uniform, and we talk about the ships he sailed on and the places he visited and the adventures that he must have had. Those moments, sharing what we feel about my father, who is long since gone, they're really precious to me. They bring my father back to me. But they're also really precious moments that I feel that I am having with my sons. And who knows, one day they might look back on those photograph albums and it might give them a taste of those happy hours that we spent together. I've also started jotting down lessons of the year. Sounds a bit official, doesn't it? But it's not really. These are the things I've learned that I'd rather not have to learn again next year, if I'm honest. It's a quiet, reflective process of asking, what wisdom do I want to carry with me? And what do I really not need to learn again? What memories, what lessons, what traditions will be worth preserving this year? Why don't you take a moment to reflect on the parts of this year that you want to carry forward into next year? Capture them. Celebrate them.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
As we approach a new year, it's natural, I think, to reflect on where we've been and where we're headed. There's a quiet power, I believe, in setting intentions. It's a way of steering our pathway with much more clarity and care. And what I've been doing today on my show for UK Health Radio is I'm sharing 7 habits on my show that are rooted in your growth, your best intention, and your greatest level of fulfillment. I'm sharing thoughts on planting something and nurturing something and preserving something and more so that you have the best possible start to 2025. Imagine yourself at some point in the future, a future version of you, standing there waiting for you with open arms, smiling and joyful, celebrating your arrival and congratulating you for doing such a fantastic job of getting to the place where you're intended to be. So what new things come after the 3 that we've already talked about? Interesting that the next one, 4th on my list, is very much about doing something new. There's an undeniable magic in newness. I'm a bit of a starter type, which means that I find it so motivating and enthralling and exciting whenever I try something new, because it has all that energy and excitement and it builds up a lot of drive. But it does have a little bit of anticipation, a little bit of fear in it. And I suppose you have to be bold enough when you want to start something new to believe that you can push through that anxiety wall, can I call it that? And that you have enough belief in yourself to really be able to move through that wall or over that wall or indeed around it or under it or simply make that wall disappear somehow. So doing something new requires that boldness, and it's an act of willingness. It's a way of saying, look, I'm open to growth, and that might feel uncomfortable at first, but I'm going to not be pot bound anymore. Now, this doesn't have to be big, or it doesn't have to be overly bold, actually. It can be something really small. It could be learning to bake some sourdough bread, or deciding to explore a new part of the town that you've lived in for a while, or something as simple as taking a different route on your morning walk. I mean, what matters is that you're willing to try. It's a state of being, really. Let me tell you about something that I learned. I remember the first time I travelled to Vietnam from the UK. I didn't know how I'd manage in a country that was so different from the one that I'm used to. But I was willing to give it a go. So I went and I had decided to try and to be open-minded about everything that I was fortunate enough to connect with. And it turned out to be one of the most unforgettable experiences of my life. The food, the people, the weather, the culture, the memories. They're jewels now that I actually carry with me always. I always say to people, go. And if you don't like it, you never have to go again. It doesn't have to be Vietnam. It can be anywhere at all. You know, I say to people, go and see what you think of it. And if you love it, oh my goodness, what if you love it? What new adventure will you step into this coming year? Trust that you don't have to know everything before you begin. Just take that next right step and start. As well as doing something new, I would suggest you do something old. Some things, the most meaningful ones, sometimes happen when we return to something familiar. Doing something old, an old hobby, a forgotten passion, a family ritual that's been there since day dot. It just reconnects us with ourselves. It reminds us of the parts of us that remain steady and meaningful, even as the world still shifts. It gives us an anchorage, a sort of a structural centering. Maybe it's picking up an old instrument you haven't played in years. Maybe it's rereading a book that once changed your life. Maybe it's returning to something old in the sense of not living in the past. It's about remembering what still matters in your future. What old passion or hobby or tradition might you bring into 2025? You know, reach out to a friend you used to talk to every week. Text them. Just say, do you remember when we climbed up the side of that waterfall together? And then wait to see what they say. Sometimes that's all it takes to rekindle a connection. I've been doing this recently. I've been texting people who are dear to me, and I've been expressing how grateful I am for the fact that I have these wonderful memories and that those memories were collected and formed when I was with them. It's lovely. It's a way of revisiting the memory. It's another way of having that experience a second time around. Next, I would suppose another of the seven habits is to do something loving. Love something that's dear to you. Yes, I think that's how I would express it. See, love to me isn't just a feeling. It's a choice. It's a choice that you make every day. And it's a choice that you choose to include or to exclude. So for me, love is inclusive. And it's present in how you treat the people and the places and the passions and the possessions that matter most to you. And it's not just about grand gestures either or sweeping declarations. It's actually, I think, also about the small, consistent ways you show love in your everyday life. And here's something I think we often forget. Love isn't just what we give for others or to others, it's actually for you as well. Self-love is just as vital as the love you share with friends and family and the world around you. In fact, I think it's the foundation of everything. If you can learn to love yourself with patience and forgiveness and kindness, you'll have much more love to give to others in the long run. This habit, it's not about the dramatic. It's not anything in the Hollywood sense of what love is. It's actually about a quiet devotion. It's steady ways we show consistent everyday love. It's checking in on an old friend even when you're busy, and it's calling a loved one to say, I was thinking of you. It's in giving time and attention to a cause that you care about, even when it feels like you don't have much to spare. One of the best things I ever did was to shift my understanding of what I felt love looks like. It doesn't have to be big to be real, and it doesn't have to be the way other people express love for that to be how you express love. For me, it's the gentle, ordinary acts that I express to myself and that I share with everything around me that means the most. It is that phone call to a friend I haven't spoken to for a while, and knowing that despite I haven't spoken to them for a while, they'll be ready to receive my call, and I look forward to hear their voice. It's the warm, thoughtful messages that you send to people. The time you spend, I don't know, making someone their favourite meal because you know they've had a long, busy day. Not because you have to, but because you'd love to. Love doesn't always have to be directed outward. I know I've said that before. Sometimes it's about loving yourself enough to rest when you're tired, being honest with yourself about how you feel about something, giving yourself permission to put the world on pause just for an evening to do some knitting or to run yourself a bath or to read that book you've been meaning to read for months. You're the main character in your own story. The way you love yourself shapes how you experience life. It's easy to forget that, especially when life gets busy. But making self-love a daily habit, not just a once in a while, oh, I've got to do this, oh, I'm on holiday kind of thing, that changes everything. You shouldn't put self-love on pause, waiting for the perfect time. The moment when you might be able to shoehorn it into your busy life. No, I think you need to start this habit of love straight away. It's a passion like painting or gardening or cooking or dancing around the kitchen. And often we lose touch with passion, that loving passion inside of ourselves, because life is pulling us in a million different directions. 2025 can be the year that you reconnect with all of that love. Not just about the things you're passionate about. What about love looking like blocking out non-negotiable time each week? Time, just time for you. Not for work, not for commitments, not for anyone else's expectation. Just block that time out. Just you doing something you love for no other reason than it makes you happy. Love a person. Who in your life deserves more of your love and attention in 2025? And who in your life has proved to, perhaps, dare I say it, deserve a little bit less of your attention? For the person that does deserve the attention, let them know how you feel about them. A message as simple as, I appreciate you, or I'm so glad to have you in my life. That can mean more than you realise, especially when it's not expected. A hug that lingers maybe that little bit longer when you see someone. A spontaneous visit to someone who could use a bit of company, as long as they're okay about you turning up unannounced. Maybe it's a text to a friend that says, I was just thinking of you and I wanted to say hello. Love's also about surroundings too. This one's, I think, often overlooked. It's really powerful though. Your home, your workspace, your desk, your kitchen workspace, your daily environment, they all play a part in how you feel each day. Ask yourself, does my sleep space reflect love? Does my kitchen space and the food in my fridge reflect love? Does the inside of my car reflect love? It's about making your space feel loving and safe and warm and nourishing for you. It could be fresh flowers on the kitchen table. It might be lighting a candle that smells like summer mornings. Maybe it's as basic as clearing the bin before it starts to overflow, or clearing away the clutter of the post that's sitting in a pile and that's been weighing you down. Our surroundings often affect our mental well-being, and you can love yourself when you fill your space with small touches of beauty and warmth and clarity. You're sending a message to yourself that says, do you know what? You deserve to feel at peace here. You deserve to feel loved here. This habit isn't about doing more. It's not about being more. It's not about spending more. It's actually essentially about being more present. It's about noticing those little moments where love is possible and then following up on them. Then last on the list then, what would be my seventh? I think it would have to be prepared to let something go. When you let something go, you open space for something better to take its place. It's an act of trust, really, trusting in yourself, in your growth, and the possibilities that are waiting for you along the pathway ahead of you. Releasing what no longer serves you, it creates room for clarity and freshness and new opportunities and the kind of peace that can only come when you're no longer carrying unnecessary weight. It's not about loss. It's about making space for more of what aligns with who you are becoming. Sometimes it's only after we let go that we realise just how much room was being taken up. Old fears, outdated beliefs, clothes that don't fit, past versions of ourselves, it lingers. It lingers longer than they're meant to. Crowding out the space where new dreams could be, new relationships could be growing. When you release and let go, you create an opportunity, just like a fertile ground for new beginnings. You invite in all the things that could not occupy that space because something else was occupying it, and the thing occupying it was really something that, I don't know, doesn't align anymore with who you're becoming, and yet you're hanging on to it. When you release things like that, you invite in love and joy and growth and connection and infinite possibility. And the energy that was once used to hold on can now be channeled into something far more life-sustaining. Think about what you would welcome into your life if you could make space for it. I always say to people, imagine you're sitting at a dining room table and there are 8 seats around that table. What is it that you would place on each seat that you currently already own? And is there something more important that you would like sitting on one of those seats if you were only brave and bold enough to let it go? And that might be debt. Might be a relationship, it might be a job that you feel undervalued in, it might be that you need to get to bed at an earlier time, or make sure, as I do, that I leave muddy shoes outside the back door rather than just on the inside of the back door. All of it makes space, but what I'm saying is imagine releasing the need for control enough to allow yourself to invite something else in, to discover that kind of underlying current of calm that comes with the trust that it's okay to let go of things that are not in alignment with who we're now intending to become. Every ending, I think, makes way for a new beginning. I want to introduce into my life space for new beginnings, but that means that I have to clear out old goals and the old toolkit I used in order to achieve those goals. And then I have to allow what inspires me to flow in and make space for fresh, exciting possibilities to grow. This is the beauty, I think, of letting go. It's not about what you lose, it's actually about what you make space to gain. So as we step into a new year, there's a real opportunity to approach life with clarity and intention and purpose by embracing 7 simple yet powerful new habits. These habits aren't actions, they're mindsets that invite your growth, connection and joy into your current daily life and that steer and navigate you towards whatever is waiting for you in the future. So it begins with planting something. Then it continues to nurture something, and then it's essential to preserve something. And we're going to look at doing something new, and we're going to look at doing something old, and then we're going to let something go. These habits are a pathway to a more intentional life. They call you to start something new, to nurture your growth, to honour your past, to welcome change, to return to joy, to love deeply, and to release what no longer serves you. And as you embrace each one of them, you'll find that these habits don't just shape your days, they'll shape you. Together, they create a mindset of openness and purpose and possibility as you move into the new year ahead. That's it for another show. I'm so glad you joined me here for the Future Self Energetics Show on UK Health Radio this week. I present the Future Self Energetics Show every week on UK Health Radio, and I'd be delighted to spend more time with you again soon. The world of energy is amazing, and it's magical, and it's mysterious, and there's always so much for us to explore about it. You have a vital connection to a web of energy fields around you. Use that connection for your benefit. I've been working with vibrational energetics all my life, and I know that when you improve your energy fields, you can only up-level. Focus then on improving the quality of your energy field all the time, whenever you can, because it does have the potential to positively change everything.